Okay, we're picking up eight lines from the bottom of Vavod Amud Beis. So it starts with the Gemara. Again, we're analyzing the Breisa, the four Rishios of Shabbos. So the Gemara is up to the Carmelis. It says the Gemara, Amar Mar. So we said in the Breisa, Aval Yam Ubika, but a sea. And the area of Rosh Hashi pointed out was like these open fields. Va'istavios va'Carmelis. And this was the, right, the storefront with the benches in front of it. And a Carmelis, Einan, lo kirshus yachir, lo kirshus ram. They're not like a private domain, and they're also not like the public domain. Okay, we said there was an Isra Rabbanan, and that was what we said over there. Now the Gemara asks, Ubika, Einan, lo kirshus yachir, lo kirshus rabim. Is it really true that these open fields are not like a private domain or like a public domain? V'hatsan, the Mishnah tells us, Habika, the area of an open field, be a most hachama when it comes to the summer season, rishus yachir l'shabbos. It is going to be a private domain with regards to Hilchos Shabbos. So it's Rishus HaYachid. However, Rishus HaRabim L'tuma. When it comes to Tuma, it's going to be Rishus HaRabim that is considered public domain. What is this nafkamina? So the Gemara in Sota learns out that fundamentally when someone has a Suffolk Tuma, whenever there's a doubt about Tuma, a person, if it's called a Rishus HaRabim, then it's considered Tahor. If it's Rishus HaYachid, it's Tameh. The Gemara is all limud. Rashi actually quotes part of it over here. The whole Gemara is all limud from a Sota. From a Sota Suffolk Sota, that they're from the Stira of the Sota, Nistra of Hidnitma, that we learn that only in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, we assume that you're Tameh and not in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So over here, we're telling you the halachas when it comes to both Hilchos Tuma and Hilchos Shabbos. Again, when Hilchos to Shabbos, you're considered a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. And when it comes to Rishus HaRabim, with regards to Hilchos Tumah, it's Rishus HaRabim. So we see over here, there'll be Mos HaGeshem, what's first, when it comes to the rainy season, when people are less likely to walk over there, Rishus HaYachid Lekan Lekan, then it is considered both a private domain with regards to Shabbos and regards to Tumah, because people are not walking there, that was with regards, that's why it's considered a Rishus HaYachid, also with regards to Tumah, because people are walking there during the rainy season, that's what Rashi points out. But what do we say either way? The Mishnah points out that an area of open field is considered a private domain with regards to Hilchos Shabbos. So yet our Braisa said that it is considered a Carmelis. So which is it? Is it Carmelis or is it Rishus HaYachid? So the Gemara says, Amar Ula, Ula answers over here, La'olam Carmelis Hava. Really, it is considered a Carmelis. So then, why does the Mishnah use the Lashon of Amai Karl Rishus HaYachid? Why does the Mishnah use the Lashon, the strange Lashon of a private domain that lead you to get confused and think it's not like a Carmelis? Lefi She'ena Rishus HaRabim. Because it's just telling you that it's not a public domain. In. Really, it really is a Carmelis, but they wanted to make sure that you don't think that it is a private, it is a public domain. So then why are you using Rosh Hashanah Yachid? Why don't you use the Lashon of Carmelis? So the Chassam Sofer over here points out that because when it comes to Tumah, which we were discussing in that very Mishnah, Tumah only has one status. Is it Rosh Hashanah Rabim? Then a Suffolk Tumah is Mutter. If it's Rosh Hashanah Yachid, then a Suffolk Tumah is problematic. So then the Mishnah had to line up the Lashonos, so the Mishnah had to compare the two cases, and since it's lining up the Lashonos, he used Lashon Rosh Hashanah Yachid, Rosh Hashanah Rabim. Continues the Gemara now. Ravashi gives a difference. Ravashi says, Ravashi Amar, turning on to the next Amud, Kigon to Islam Machitzos. The Mishnah over there was discussing a case which the field has walls around it. And if it does, then it has walls. And the Mishnah refers to the case of Rishus HaYachid with the rule that Ula said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Remember, Ula always came from Eretz Yisrael, saying statements to Bavel, and he always said statements in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. What do you say over here? Karpef Yosher Mibes Asayim Shelo Hukaf Ladira. A Karpef. What is a Karpef? A Karpef is a Lashon of the Mishnah. It's regards, it usually just means an open area. The open area is usually, so what is a Sasayim? A Sa, we know, is an area of 50 Amos by 50 Amos. A Sasayim is going to be 50 Amos by 100 Amos. So that's going to have you with the total of a square area of 5,000 square amos. So if it is enclosed, then it would be a Rishus HaYachid with every halacha. So, okay, so if that's all if it's less than two beisas. However, if it's larger than two beisas, then there's a specific unique rule with it that carrying is only going to be mutter if it was supposed to be used for people to use it, meaning that the people planned on carrying within it. So meaning it wasn't an area that people don't use, that people had no das to it, then even if it's enclosed, it is going to be usher to carry in there. That's what Rashi fleshes this out for us. So now again, so going back to the sugis, again, we say over here, karpef yosef based on time shalom hukaf ladir, so that's why it's important to hukaf ladir or not, meaning people weren't planning on using it for regular standard purposes of what people use things for. Vafilu kor, vafilu koraim, even if it's as large as a base kor, base koraim, Hazorek Lasocho Chayav, one who throws an object into it from the Rishus Harabim is going to be chayev. So we really view it as Rishus HaYachid with regards to throwing something. However, with regards to carrying, that was the unique rule that it wasn't meant to have hook of the deer. There's a din derabanan that you're not allowed to carry there. So the Gemara says, Namai Taima. So what is the reasoning over here? Mechitzahi, that the fence is a valid halachic fence, like we sang midoraisa. It totally makes it Rishus HaYachid. However, Elisha Mechsur is Diyoran. He over here, it doesn't have people living in it, meaning it's not an area people planned on using to carry. Then midarabanan, we assert it. We assert it because it's very big. It looks like a Rishus Rabim. That's what the Rishonim point out, that it looks like Rishus Rabim. So if you didn't have in mind to carry in it, it's a huge area. Even if it's closed off, it's going to be usher to carry in it. Okay? So we see over here that since the field discussed by the Mishnah and Taros is larger than Beis HaSayim and it's surrounded by walls, the Mishnah is calling it a Rishus HaYachid. That is very good because that's regards to the Halacha Midoraisa. Midoraisa is a Rishus HaYachid. However, our discussion over here is discussing how is it Lamaisa? Lamaisa, it's viewed as a din derabanan and iser karmelis. That is the chilik between the two mishnayos. Okay? So, continues the Gemara now. Then, Bishlam, Rav Ashi, Lo Mar Knulas. We had two different answers over here to answer this tira. So we had Rav Ashi. It's understandable why I didn't say like Ula, because Ula's explanation is a little docha. However, Ula, my tamalo amar kishmaite. Why doesn't Ula explain the Mishnah with regards to his own halacha that a karpev, meaning he said this statement in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Ula, we said Umar Amar Ula Amar Rabbi Yochanan. He's the one who quoted this in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. What do you say? A karpev that's not enclosed for purposes that people planned on carrying it is considered a Rishus Hayachid. You can't carry it in Midarabanam. It's still considered a Rishus Hayachid. Why didn't he give this very good teretz that Rav Ashi was using based on Ula's own statement? So it says this Gemara now, Amar Lacha, Ula is going to respond the following. Id isla machitzos, if the field area had walls around it, then you're going to call it Bika Karile. You're going to call the Tana would use a Lashon of an open field. It's not open. It's not open. It's Karpefu. It's a Karpef that's not an open. It's in a closed large area, but it's closed off. A Karpef by definition usually means that a large area that's closed off. So Bika, however, usually it means something that's open. So that's why the Lashonos don't line up. That is why Ula says what he says. So the Gemara says, so then if that's a very good Tzfar, then what's Rav Ashi going to respond? Rav Ashi is going to respond to the following. Rishus Hayachid Katani. The Mishnah at the end of the day uses the Lashon that the area is a Rishus Hayachid. That is a private domain. It's not a Karmelis. So you have to say that we're talking about an area that is fenced in, and that's why Rav Ashi has to say we're talking about a karpef, an area that is fenced in. That was the rationale behind the two machloksim. Okay, continues Gemara now. Veha karmelis. And what about, and the Mishnah said over there in that price again, that a karmelis, that was one of the things mentioned in the Rishios, and it said karmelis, and then it quoted examples, and karmelis was in the example, right? That's why he said karmelis, and yam, biko, that, and karmelis. So why is karmelis mentioned there? So I'm going to ask that question right now. Atukula nami love karmelis? No. All of the areas mentioned are halachically a karmelis. So what are you talking about that you mentioned karmelis within that? So this is where now, Kiyasa Rav Dimi Amr Rabbi Yochanan, when Rav Dimi came to Bavel again, he also said statements in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. He as well, Rabbi Yochanan was the Gadol in Eretz Yisrael. So they would always come and say statements, what he said. Lo nitzrocha ela lekeren zavis hasmucha l'rishus harabim. The separate reference to a karmelis is, why do you need to say that? Because it's coming to include an area that has like this little open area in front of a house. Be one of the there are a few examples over here where I wish I could draw it in front of you. But you have a house and a little open area in front of the house. So people don't necessarily walk there, but people would walk there. So it says in Gemara now, there are times where people, because it's an open area in front of the house, you know, when people are stuck, they are going to push their way and enter this area. However, since it's not convenient, people don't want to walk there, meaning it's a straight road, and then this little area of the house is like open, and you could get stuck and walk into it. Again, I wish I could draw it for you, but that is, it's not so hard. Just imagine an area in front of a house that like the street can theoretically could walk into that area, if you need to. So then, like Gemara says over here, Kevin Delo Nicha Tashmise, since it's no one wants to be walking over there, Kikarmelis Dame, it's not considered a Rishus Rabim. They only do this in a situation where they don't want to and they're stuck. So therefore we do not consider Rishus Rabim, rather we consider it Karmelis. Okay, continues the Gemara now. So Kiasa, so now that once we're mentioning it, the Gemara quotes another statement in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Kiasa of Dimim Rabbi Yochanan, another statement. Veina Mudim Nidon Kikarmelis. The area between the two pillars, literally, that's considered a karmelis. What's this area between the two pillars? So we mentioned before that we had the itztabos. The itztabos were the area in front of the blocks and the stones in front of the stores. So a typical area, the paltaya that we quoted before, the plaza, has the status of Rishus Harabim. So the Gemara is now discussing these pillars between them. What is their situation? So it's a karmelis. It's nidor karmelis. It's a karmelis and not a rishus harabim. So the Gemara asks, well, my taima, meaning at the end of the day, you could walk through there. That is really, it was right next to the street where people were walking, because the Gemara answers now, afagav the darse berabim, even though people do walk there, kivendel mistail, the stagilu behedja, they can't walk directly. So what does that mean? They can't walk directly. I mean, Rashi points out they can't walk in a straight line because there's little itztavos, these little blocks that were standing there in different areas, like annoying. If they walk like in a circle, that's very inconvenient. So people don't want to walk that way. So therefore, we're going to downgrade it and call it a karmelis. So again, so then we said over here, Kevin Dolam Stagilu behedja, okay, karmelis, damn it, it's like a karmelis. So the Gemara quotes a similar halacha. Amar Rav Zera, Amar Rav Yehuda. So now Rav Zera said the name of Yehuda. It's the bush lefnei amudim, the block that is now in front of the pillar. So here we had before that it was bein amudim, between. The Gemara is going to make a chiluk between the two. However, lefnei amudim, we say, is nidon kekarmelis. It's also considered a karmelis. So again, we're talking about now on top of this block, not the actual block itself, but on top of it is considered a karmelis. It's not considered a rishus harabim. So the question is why? Because we're going to see, I think on the next daf, on daf ches, we're going to see because no one wants to walk over them because they're annoying, because they're over 10 fachim. So that is going to be why they're a karmelis. So the Gemara now says, Laman, so again, Amar Zerim, it's a belefim amudim, nidoki karmelis. So the Gemara now says, Laman, Amar Ben Amudim, the one who says that it's between these pillars are like a karmelis. Kol shekin it's the but, and certainly the block in front of the pillars is going to be considered a karmelis and not a rishus harabim, because if the traffic to some extent is going through these pillars, then okay, fine, they'll go through the pillars, but they're not going to be going over the block. So then clearly that would be a karmelis. However, Laman Damar Itzdaba, but the one who says that the block in front of the players is considered a karmelis, then maybe Itzdaba Delonicha Tashmise. Only the Itzdaba, again, because you're walking on top of it, is annoying. So however, Avabena Mudim Denicha Tashmise, but between the pillars, which is annoying, is Nicha Tashmise, it's somewhat convenient. Obviously, it's not fully, rather go straight. However, since it's in reference to the Itzdaba, it's still be considered convenient. Lo, that's not considered a karmelis. Maybe we'll just call that full-fledged Rishus Harabim. The Gemara says Lishna Achrina. However, you could say that between the pillars where people sometimes walk there, Kishus Rabdamiya, we're going to call that, maybe like we saw before, but Tzidir Rishus Rabim, which is a machlokas in the Tanaim, so maybe that'd be a similar machlokas over here, since people do walk through that. So that is different between the Bein Amudim versus, on top of the Itztaba. So now the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Shilam Rabbi Chista, Levena Zakufa Rishus Rabim, if there's a brick that's standing upright in the public domain, so Rashi says that the dimensions are going to be 3x3 tefachim, and that's the general size. Vizarek v'tach b'faneh, and if someone was standing four amos away, he threw something and it stuck to the brick. The Gemara is going to say chayav. It's an example: you throw like a fig, something sticky. Then you're going to be chayav for throwing something four amos in the rishus harabim. And the reason again would be because it's less than 10 tefachim. Less than 10 tefachim means the avir rishus harabim. That's less than 10 tefachim. Is considered like the Rishus Harabim, and therefore it's as if it was standing in Rishus Harabim, which would be a iser of Hotza'ah on Rishus Harabim. Now, if it was Al Gaba, if it was on top of the brick, Putter, you're going to be Putter, because the top of the brick, we're not considering as part of the Rishus Harabim, because we're going to assume that it's its own Rishus. We're assuming that it's its own Rishus, and therefore you're not going to be Chayav. And the Gemara is going to discuss that in a moment. The Gemara now says, Abaye v'Rava, then Rabbi Abaye and Rava both say, v'hu shegavo ashlosha. This is only the case that the brick is considered a separate shus if it's at least 3 tefachim high. Why? D'lo darsei l'rabim, in a case that people don't step on it. If they're not stepping on it because it's annoying, then that would be considered its own rishus, le'in and hilchos Shabbos. Even though it's not 10 tefachim high, it's 3 tefachim high for this purpose, but since it's considered an annoyance, and therefore people don't want it there, it can't consider it part of the rishus l'rabim, and therefore it would not be considered a yurim b'chayah for that on Shabbos. Aval hizmei v'hegi. But if it landed on brambles or these type of thorn bushes, which people, again, don't want to be stepping on, then even Alpagav the Loga Vishloshi, even if it's not 3 tefachim high, no one wants to step on them, even if it's small, even if they're a quarter of an inch, because they're going to hurt you, I guess, if you don't have the best shoes. But obviously, you don't want to walk through it. So then, since you don't want to walk on them, even if they're less than that, they'd be considered their owner shus, and they extend the kula of not being, that would not be, again, we're talking about the raisa now, pashas asr b'jarbanan, but that would not be asr. Now the Gemara says, even these brambles and the thorn bushes that are less than three tvachim high will say, will be mekel. However, aval tsoa love, if it landed on, if it landed on tsoa, if it landed on excrement that was less than three tefachim, one would not be chayav. Okay? So that's because, again, that we're going to assume that maybe people will be wearing shoes, Rashi says. If people are wearing shoes, like we just said, then it's not really going to affect them so much. So then maybe you could be machmir on that, even if it's less than three tefachim, we should be machmir on the hizbi hegi. However, the tsoa, that everyone's going to agree with, it doesn't need any share, because no one, even with their shoes, is going to want to step on them. So that would give the distinction to not say it's part of the shoes rabim. Ravashi says, now he's the most machmir, he says, afilu tsoa, even if it landed on the excrement, you're going to be chayav, even if it's less than three tefachim high. Why would that be? Because he seems to assume that anything less than three tefachim on the high, Rashi says, is mitzad lavud. Lavud is the principle that anything within three tefachim is considered an extension, is really part of it. So therefore, even though the you really don't want to be standing on stepping on number two over here, even though you really don't want, it doesn't matter. La'alacha, it's still going to be considered its own. It's going to be considered its own. It's going to be considered part of the shus rabbim because less than three tefachim and because of lavud. Here's where now. Amar Rabba, Devar Rab Shila. He says that a karmelis can't be less than four tefachim wide. That is his psak. Okay? So now, what is it then? It's going to be considered a makom ptur. And then Rashi points out, if that's the case, then one can be carrying from that to a Rosh Hashanah, from there to Rosh Hashanah, because a makom ptur is totally okay. Did we reach the height of 10 tefachim? So now I'm going to ask, what is that talking about? What has to reach the height of 10 tefachim? If you want to say that it means that only if there's a wall that's 10 tefachim high, then it's going to be considered a karmelis. However, if it doesn't, then it would be, it would not be so. The Gemara says now, Velo, is that really true though, that it's not going to be a karmelis? V'amar of Gidol, Rav Chia, Rav Yosef, Rav, Bayish in Besucha Asara, house that the inside doesn't have a height of 10 tefachim, V'karayui, Mishlima La Asara, but the thickness of the roof would complete it to 10 tefachim. So example, let's say it's 9.5 tefachim, and half a tefach of thickness of the roof. So then the halacha is the following. Al gago, on top of its roof, then mutar l'taltel b'kulo. A person is allowed to carry all, no matter how big it is, you can carry all over it. However, b'socho, inside the house, in metaltel bo ela arba amos. You can only carry within 4 amos because it has the din of a karmelis. So, but we see the top that you're allowed to carry, as much as you want. So we see if it's a full-fledged Rosh Hashanah and there's no mechitzos, so then you don't need mechitzos over there. So then what is this halacha referring to? So the Gemara says, Elamai v'tasifat asara, so what does Rosh Hashanah mean when he says, reaches the height of 10 tefachim? De'al asara hu de'havia karmelis. That only up to a height of 10 tefachim, that's going to be considered a karmelis. L'malam asara tefachim la'avik a karmelis. But above 10 tefachim is not going to be considered like a karmelis, it's going to be like a makam tour. So the Gemara says, V'chiha de'amar le Shmuel Rav Yehuda, but Shmuel said once to Rav Yehuda, Shinana, that's what Shmuel's nickname was for Rav Yehuda, he always said the sharp one. Don't discuss inyonim of Shabbos. Don't discuss matters of Shabbos in regards to above 10 tefachim of the Gemara. So Gemara says, this is a very weird statement. What does this mean? So Gemara asks, what was Allah was Shmuel referring to? If you want to tell me that, maybe he was telling you, there's no such thing as Rosh Hashanah, a private domain that would go above 10 tefachim. So meaning that if I have a pole that goes in a house, that's surrounded by mechitzos, that wouldn't go above 10 tefachim, that wouldn't be considered Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says that's not true though. Amar Rav Chista, not Kanaber Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah. If someone stuck a pole into the ground of a private domain, Vizarak Menach Vagabav, and someone threw an object from Rosh Hashanah and landed on top of this pole, so Avila Gova Me'ama, even if this pole is obviously a Lash Guzman, it's 100 amas high, then you're still going to be chayav. Meaning, because why? Neshe Rosh Hashanah, because we see that Rosh Hashanah extends up to the sky, it's still considered Rosh Hashanah. So it can't be that Shmuel was saying that the airspace, the makom, the avir of the Rosh Hashanah does not extend, because that would be contradicting this halacha. So the Gemara says the following. Turning on to the next amud, Ella de ein Rosh Hashanah l'mal master. It's telling you, Shmuel was telling us that the public domain doesn't extend above 10 tefachim. So the Gemara says Shmuel doesn't need to teach you beferish a mishnah. That's a mishnah. This time, what does the mishnah say? Hazorik arba amos bakotel. Someone who throws an object 4 amos in the Rosh Hashanah rabim against the wall. So the Gemara again was going to say that that's something sticky like a fig. And what happens? L'malam asar tefachim gazorik ba'avir. If it's above 10 tefachim, from the ground, then it's just like he threw it in the air, and then it's considered a makom tor. It's okay. However, if it's below 10 tefachim, if he threw it on the ground, in Rosh Hashanah, and you would be chayav. So now we see that this mission already tells us, but fair, so this is 10 tefachim and lower than 10 tefachim. So what was Shmuel coming to teach you? So the Gemara now goes back and says, since we're rejected about being Rosh Hashanah, it must be the following. Ela Karmelis. Shmuel is taking you a chidash of Karmelis, the in Karmelis, Lamala Masara, that there is no, that the Karmelis is going to be Mekil, that it's going to be like Rosh Hashanah in this respect, that above 10 tefachim, a Karmelis is not going to be a problem. The Gemara says, V'akilu Barabana, and we see that the Rabban are going to be Mekil with regards to this Karmelis. What is that? Mekulu Rosh Hashanah and Mekulu Rosh Hashanah. That there's going to be some leniencies, again, because it's only an Issur Darabanan. This whole Karmelis, this whole area is only a Din Darabanan, so we're going to be Mekil with the following Kulas. What is that? Mekulu Shosa Yachid, Di'ika Makum Arbahu Dahavis Bekarmelis. That only if there's an area 4 Tfachim wide, we're going to assume that it's a Karmelis. And if it's less than that, if it's less than 4 Tfachim wide, then what's going to be the Din? Makum Tur Be'almahu. It's going to Makum Tur and be totally mutter to carry from there into Rosh Hashanah Yachid, obviously, but from there, even if you brought something from the Rosh Hashanah, it would not be Chayav. So then the Gemara also says, Mikul Rosh Hashanah. Also, there's the leniencies of Rosh Hashanah, the public domain, which is the following. Da'ara Sar Tfachim Hu Da'avik Karmelis. That only up until 10 tefachim is going to be like a karmelis. Malam asar tefachim lava karmelis. Above 10 tefachim is not going to be like a karmelis. Rather, it's going to be makom tur. That's like Rosh Hashanah. If it was like Rosh Hashanah Yachid, it would be problematic. It would still be considered a karmelis and be an Isser Darabanan from above, something above 10 tefachim in this karmelis. Okay, so today is Marna Gufa. We're going back to what we saw before. Amar Rav Gidol, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rav Chia, Bar Yosef, Amar Rav Bayis She'in Tocho Asara, a house which didn't have the inside of 10 tefachim. Hi, Vikar Mashlum Asara, but the thickness of the roof would complete the 10 tefachim. Right, then we would assume that Agog Amutal Tal Tabakula, that on the top area above it, meaning because it's above the 10 tefachim, then it'd be permitted to carry all over, no matter how big it is. However, Besocho Imis Alchad Ba'ala Arba Amos, inside the house. Since you don't have the shear, you'd only be allowed to carry within the four amos because it is a din of the Karmelis. The Knudas Gemara, Amar Abaye. Abaye says, "V'imchakak bo arba al arba." If someone carves out in the floor of this house a hole of 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, meshlim al asara, and thereby he has a height of 10 tefachim with when you include this area that he dug, then says the Gemara, "Mutul talta bakulo," you'd be allowed to carry throughout the house, not just in the hole. What's the reasoning? My taima, because havechor reshus yachid, because we assume that the rest of the house is following, meaning that is considered like chor reshus yachid, is following the whole of the reshus yachid of the private domain, and since the whole of the private domain is considered like the private domain, we call it one unit of a private domain, being that we're mashlim the whole area, that one tefach that you dug is considered part of the whole 9 tefachim that you had before in that private domain. And the Gemara says, the Itmar, we see a rule regarding this halacha, that the whole of a reshus yachid of a private domain is considered like a private domain halachically. The whole of a public domain, meaning of a Rishus Rabbim, is going to be the following machlokas Abayo Mer Kishus Rabdamim. They are treated as a public domain. Rava says, Lav Kishus Rabbim, that these holes and these things and these cracks, and Rashi says a hollow area in a wall that's next to Rishus Rabbim, all these things are machlokas Abayo and Rava. Rava says they're not like Rishus Rabbim, Abayo says they are like Rishus Rabbim. So the Gemara now asks, Rava has a kashan Abayo. Says the Gemara, Amadei Rava the Abayo. According to you, hold that these holes and these cracks and these hollow wall areas in a wall are like a Rosh Hashanah. When Rabbi Yochanan came and he said this following statement, that our Braisa that said before, when Rabbi Yochanan was coming to answer the Kasha, the Braisa says, what is a Karmelis? And gives three examples, then gives Karmelis as the example. What was Rabbi Yochanan's answer to why we needed to say that? Because we need to include the case of the area, the holes, that were in front of, that are next to the public domain, next to the Rishus HaRabim, right? That's how we explain the Braisa, as saying the area in front of the Rishus HaRabim. So the Gemara asks, so, V'tehave kechori Rishus HaRabim, why don't we say that we're assuming that this area, this crack, should be like a hole of a public domain, and it have the status of Rishus HaRabim, not a Karmelis? Why does it have a din of a Karmelis? So we see that it can't be like you hold, Rabbi Yochanan must disagree with your Pesach. So Abai is going to come to an answer. He says, no, they're fundamentally different. Hasam l'nicha le'tashmise, there, when the Kohes mentioned before, people don't want to use that area. And they really don't want to use it, and it's inconvenient. However, when you have these little cracks and holes in different areas to put things, people all the time, when they're walking on the streets, they'll like put their tissues there, they'll put a Coke when they're holding a drink, or a bottle of water, they'll put it there for a second while they're adjusting their load or things like that, where it has a functional purpose, so therefore, they're fundamentally different. So another Gemara wants to say, Tanan, the Mishnah, we learn the following. Hazorik arba amos bakota. Someone who throws an object, four amos, in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and it went against the wall. And what happened? Lamala masar tfachim kazar baravir. If it's above 10 tfachim from the ground, then it's like he threw it in the Rosh Hashanah, avir of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, which is mutter. And would it be asar? Lamata masar tfachim kazar baravir. If he did less than 10 tfachim, it's like he threw it on the ground, and it would be zorek arba amos, and you'd be over the din of otzah, ber Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and you'd be chayav. So Gemara says the following. Vahavinamba, we asked the kasha on the Mishnah that we said, my kazorek parts. What does it mean when the Mishnah says, it says if he threw it on the ground for amos away? At the end of the day, vahalonach, if it just hit it against the wall, it never rested on the wall because it hit the wall, it had to bounce back probably, right? Because it doesn't stay, how is it standing on a straight wall? And what did Rabbi Yochanan answer? Rabbi Yochanan, bedvela shmeina shana. Rabbi Yochanan said the chacham meant over here is they're talking about a case of a fig which is sticky, obviously, right? Figs are very sticky. So then they stick to the wall and it doesn't bounce back, and that's where it's this chiluk is applied. So if it's less than 10 tefachim, you're chayav. If it was more than 10 tefachim, you'd be pater. So the Gemara says, now, what's the raya? If you assume, like you say, Abaye, that these holes of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, so the hole over here of the wall is going to be like Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, so why didn't Rabbi Yochanan give a better teretz? So why didn't Rabbi Yochanan say that the Mishnah is talking about the following? Why are you talking about a case? Why did he give this answer that I just said before, like a fig that gets stuck to the wall? Why don't we assume that we're talking about a rock, a little rock, or any other object, or any other item that was resting in the hole? If you have a hole, it gets stuck in the hole. So Abaye gave two different teretzim. Says the Gemara, Zirin Mishanele, Abaye sometimes would say the following. What do you mean? Even if it's a hole, but if it's against a wall, if I throw a rock or something like that, or any other object, he's saying, the most likely thing that will happen is that it'll bounce back. So therefore, it's not staying there, so there wouldn't be the shaila. However, Zimna Mishalim sometimes would give a different teretz. So that would be his first teretz. That was a good teretz. The second answer he would give is the following. Bekosel delays lay chor. Sometimes the Mishnah is dealing with a wall that doesn't have any cracks in it. How do I know? Let's be mine, because the following. Medikatari Risha, the first part of this Mishnah, the first half of the Mishnah says the following. Zarek lalamala basar tfachim kzork bavar. If he threw it above 10 tfachim, as if he threw it in the air. If you assume that the Mishnah is talking about a case with a wall that has a hole in it, then amai kizorik ba'aver, why is it if he threw it in the object in the air? Hanach bechor, at the end of the day, the object came to rest in the hole that we're dealing with, that was, right? It was at least 10 tefachim high, and if it's 10 tefachim high, and it's dalet al dalet, then it should have its own status of a reshus hayachid. That's what the Gemara is about to say. The Gemara said, but wait a second, maybe we're talking about a case, v'chitim masnisim delays by arba al arba, maybe it's talking about a case that doesn't have 4x4 tefachim. If it doesn't have 4x4 tefachim, then it wouldn't be the qualification of a reshus hayachid. So the Gemara says, that's not true though. V'hamar avyud amar avchia, zarek lamala masar tefachim v'halka v'nacha b'chor kolshu, if it lands in a small hole of this wall, it's going to be a machlokas tanaim, no matter what the shear of the hole is. What do we see? Where do we see this? Rav Meir holds that literally we carve out to complete, meaning that if it's a shear and it was less than a shear, that the hole is going to be mashlim the shear of the arba tefachim, making it a reshus yachid. Rabbanan savre ain chokikim lahashlim, but the Rabbanan hold that we do not carve out to complete the stance over here. So Rashi points out, but then this only works with Rabbi Meir. If we home so very chokim lahashlim, so Rashi points out, yeah, but stam mishnah is usually Rabbi Meir. So that's what we're discussing over here. That if we're following Rav Meir, then that would be, we would see from the Mishnah that we're speaking an object that landed in this hole, so then how could the Mishnah say that someone who is going to be putter, if you throw an object from the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim into this hole above 10 tefachim, he would be chayav for throwing it into a public domain, into a private domain, according to Rav Meir. And Rav Meir, like Rashi pointed out, is the shita that we're following. So Gemara says, Allah Shema Midah, but Kosal is Bechor Shema Midah, so Rabbi says from here, must be that this Mishnah holds that there is no hole, and this is a good raya from the Mishnah. Okay, we'll stop here. Adkan for today. Where's the Hashem, will pick up tomorrow.